Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
All right, if you would please open your Bibles to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. In the previous chapter, we saw that God is able to use even the jawbone of a donkey, even the jawbone of a dead donkey. Therefore, if you sometimes feel rather like you're related to a donkey, don't assume that God can't use you. On the other hand, if you start to feel that you are being greatly used by God, don't assume that you might not still be related to the donkey. All right? In Judges chapter 16, this is God's word. One day Samson went to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told, "Samson is here." So they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the city gate. They made no move during the night, saying, "At dawn, we'll kill him." But Samson lay there only until the middle of the night. Then he got up and took hold of the doors of the city gate, together with the two posts, and tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them to his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so that we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his great strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "Until now you have been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me how you can be tied." He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with the pin. Again she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, because I have been a Nazarite, set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him. And his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Oh, sovereign Lord, remember me. Oh God, please strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my 2 eyes." Then Samson reached toward the 2 central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel 20 years. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
We've said before that God can use sinful people. God can use people despite of their failures, despite the fact they do things wrong, despite the fact that they don't understand all about how they're being used, and despite the fact that some of them are actually, who are used by God, are actually enemies of his in rebellion against him. Pharaoh, not one who we usually think of as being used by God, but he was. Scripture makes it clear that God raised him up for this purpose, in order to display God's glory. His rebellion against God didn't earn him any points with God, but it fulfilled the purpose of God and brought glory to the Lord that we're still talking about today. And Pharaoh provided a convenient foil. He provided a display, an example of what ultimately the unconverted heart looks like. Everybody in our natural state, all of us, are hostile toward God. The Bible teaches that in Romans, among other places. Jeremiah speaks of how wicked our heart is. It is a theme in the Old and New Testament. So, God used a man who was dedicated by the Lord and by his parents, but apparently not by himself. He used a man greatly. His power was displayed. The Spirit of God came upon him in power, and he did miraculous things. But it wasn't because his heart was just focused on doing the will of God. That was not the case. And please understand that just because God uses you even in ministry, it does not mean all is well between you and the Lord. God will honor his word because his word is true. But that doesn't mean that the person who speaks it is true. Judas was one of the 12 who went out and worked miracles and proclaimed the message the Lord had given him to proclaim, but his heart was not right toward God. And he ended up betraying the Lord. He ended up committing suicide. He ended up throughout history with his name representing evil. This was a guy who went out and laid hands on the sick and they got well. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, there will be those who will say to him in that day, many in fact, who will say to him in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do this? Didn't we do this in your name? And he says, I'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, Pastor, are you saying that Samson is in hell? No, I'm not Samson's judge. What I know is this. He is a model of what you don't want to do. When I was a little kid, I told you that I just thought Samson was awesome because he had big muscles in the Bible story books, and he was able to do these amazing things and defeat large numbers of enemies, and that just, to me, that was so cool. He was like my dad on steroids, okay? And so I thought, that's what I want to be like, and I even, as a kid, saw that he was able to have multiple partners, like we read about in this chapter, and God seemed to be okay with that. God wasn't okay with that. Look at what happened to the man. He doesn't end up okay. God says, well, I don't really mind that thing about, you know, adultery, prostitution, that kind of stuff. Don't worry about it. I didn't really mean it. No, he ends up a prisoner with his eyes gouged out. Is that where you want to go? Is that what you want? He did the wrong thing time after time after time. He led Israel for 20 years. You may live to be 20 years old and think, yep, so far so good. I'm doing okay. Not in any trouble. No great consequence. I've had a few scrapes, but you know, no big deal. I always get out of it. And then all of a sudden, you're going to wake up and find that you are in more trouble than you could have imagined. That's what happened to Samson. Look at the story. One day Samson went to Gaza, where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. Anything wrong with that? Let's be clear. Is there anything wrong with that? Yes, it's wrong. It's wrong. Well, people do that. Yeah, people do that. And people go to hell. God's word is the authority, not how I feel or what public opinion says. Samson saw a prostitute and went in to spend the night with her. The people of Gaza were told Samson's here, so they surrounded the place, lay in wait for him all night at the city gate, planning to kill him at dawn. He got up before then. So they're out there in the middle of the night waiting for their attack. And Samson gets up and takes their big gate, the city gate, the thing that was built big enough and strong enough that it could keep an army out. And Samson went and grabbed the doors and the gate posts and put them on his shoulders and climbed a hill with them and then dumped them off. Nobody attacked him. Okay? Would you want to? Now, how could he display such miraculous power when he's just spent the night with a prostitute? That's not okay, is it? See, when I was a little kid, I'd look at that and I'd think, well, I guess God doesn't mind. Read the rest of the chapter. Just because you haven't crashed yet doesn't mean you're not headed for disaster. That's the second part of today's lesson. The first part is sin has consequences. Second part of it, just because you haven't crashed yet doesn't mean you're okay. You understand that you may think you're getting along okay, not a problem. Because, you know, Samson spent the night with a prostitute and then was still able to carry off the city gate the next day. So I guess God's okay with that. Wrong. But he was still Samson and he was still the Lord's anointed and he was still God's choice to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. Well, some time later, next verse. Some time later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And man, word spread, because Samson was famous. He had killed thousands of Philistines. He was a ruler, okay? And so they came to her and they said, please, find out the secret of his strength. We've got to subdue him. We've got to stop. He keeps creaming us. Every time we go against him, he just wipes us out. I mean, thousands of soldiers have died trying to conquer this guy. Just one guy. I mean, one guy. Please find out the secret. So she employs her feminine wiles and nagging. Those are two things. They're not the same, okay? But it's like, you know, I know if I can just affect the right manner, then I'll get you to do it. Do I need to cry? Do I need to be jovial? What do I need to do? She tries pleading over and over. And Samson, well, look at the description. She prodded him, verse 16. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. You ever been tired to death? I'm just going to die. I just can't stand it anymore. You just worn me down. Sometimes people exhaust others. And Delilah exhausted this guy. He could fight off an army, but he couldn't fight off one woman. Isn't that amazing? Thousands of men come against him, and he's able to withstand. But one woman bats her eyelashes and says, oh, you have betrayed me. You have lied to me. Well, what about you've lied to me? You said the Philistines were upon me. Well, I was just teasing. I mean, this is awful. He can't say no. He tries. He tries to get around it. Several times he refers to the seven. It has something to do with seven. Seven thongs. Tie me with seven thongs. That'll do it. Why is he talking about seven? His hair, seven braids. Okay, so he comes close to telling her the truth. He gives her hints, but he won't come right out and tell it. This guy loves riddles. Okay, well, it has something to do with seven. Seven. What is it about seven? Count to seven. What is it about seven? Okay. Well, seven thongs. Well, you know, it has to do with my hair. He finally gets to that point. He says, it's my hair. Really, your hair? What about your hair? And he thinks, I shouldn't have told her that much. So he says, if you weave it into the fabric on the loom, then I'll be powerless. So she does it. This guy wakes up with a loom and fabric attached to his head. And what a sleeper this guy is. She's doing the shuttle back and forth. I know some people like that. Okay? He wakes up with a piece of furniture in his hair, and he's still able to throw it off, shake it off. So what happens? She says to him again, oh, how can you do this to me? How can you keep deceiving me? And he gives in. He tells her the truth, and she can tell the difference. And so she says, I am so grateful that you have trusted me with your most intimate secrets. I will never betray you. No, she gets him asleep, tells the Philistines, now's the time, here's what you do. Totally betrays him. Shocker. How could that happen? Well, she'd tried numerous times before. But this time, he thought, this is one of the most tragic verses in Scripture. Verse 20, he awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He didn't know it. He was so used to being able to do the wrong thing and get away with it, he thought he could again. And this time he couldn't. That's tragic. And just as he had said, when his head was shaved, his power was gone. Not because of his hair, because of obedience. God had said, don't do that. That is a sign of our relationship. And he gave it away. And so now the Lord has left him. And he's become just like another man. Yeah, he had muscles. But it wasn't muscles that had given him his victory. It was the power of the Lord. You know, you can have muscles and take maybe two or three guys, but not an army. It takes God. So, they bound him. They gouged out his eyes. They put bronze shackles on him. And they set him to grinding in the prison, treating him like an ox, like an animal. But then there's a party. And in this party, we see one of the reasons why it's important for us to live a godly life. When he failed and got in trouble, they, the enemies of God, praised their God. They praised their God, Dagon. They said, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. They praised the demonic, false God because of the downfall of a man who was the Lord's servant. That's still happening today. When somebody who is closely identified with the Lord falls into sin and falls from their position, the pagans love it, and they praise their gods. But Samson, who was brought out to put on a show for them, because he was still an impressive guy, and it was such a delight for them to see him in a weakened condition, not able to see. When he was brought out to perform for them, to show them his strength, they stood him among the pillars. And Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. There were about 3,000 men and women on the roof, that is the upper tier, watching him perform. It was a huge thing. Balcony all the way around, and they're up there celebrating, worshiping their God. And in the midst of it, Samson is allowed to put his hands against the two main pillars that hold the rest of it up. Without those two pillars, it's like a house of cards. And so he puts his hands there and he doesn't say, my hair's long enough now, I can do this. He says, oh, sovereign Lord, please remember me. And please give me vengeance against my foes. Let me die with the Philistines. And he pushes those two pillars and the whole building comes crashing down and thousands are killed. Oh, that doesn't seem right. These were people who hated God, worshiped demons, and burned other people alive. And this was God's revenge on his enemies, even though Samson saw it as being about him. Now, one other thing that I think is of interest. After he died and all these other people died with him, his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. Samson had brothers? I thought his parents were childless. They were. But God had blessed them with more than Samson. I want you to know that oftentimes God's blessings are way more than we anticipate. He not only miraculously gave them a child, but he gave them more. Now Samson, who has been used by God, is being buried by his siblings. And that is a picture of God's grace. One more thing that is not from me, but I think it's a very good observation. This is from the footnotes in the NIV Study Bible. It says, Samson from the tribe of Dan, like Ehud from the tribe of Benjamin, was a loner whose heroic exploits involved single-handed triumphs over powerful enemies. His story, therefore, balances that of Ehud. He typifies the nation of Israel. Hear this. He typifies the nation of Israel. He, like, represents the nation of Israel. Born by special divine provision, consecrated to the Lord from birth, and endowed with unique power among his fellow men. The likeness is even more remarkable in light of his foolish chasing of foreign women, some of ill repute, until he was cleverly subdued by one of them. In this he exemplified Israel, who during the period of the judges constantly prostituted herself to Canaanite gods to her own destruction. I think that's an excellent observation, but I couldn't share it with you as if it were my own. God, in his word, makes it clear. Sin has consequences. Just because you haven't crashed yet doesn't mean you're safe. But I'll tell you something else that runs all through this story. God uses sinful people to accomplish his purpose. It doesn't make sin okay, but it makes the glory of God very clear. Because God is the one who saves. And it is not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.